Welcome to the Top 8 Movies podcast, presented by Top 8 Media. Every week we share top 8 lists from movie lovers across the globe. We also dive into actors and actresses' top 8 movies according to IMDb scores. And hear many reviews from our resident film reviewer, Mike Morgan, as he reflects on his top 8 films of each of the last 34 years. We have special edition top 8 lists on more specific topics from the movie industry. Send us your top 8 list to be read out on future episodes. Just DM us on Instagram at top_8_media. Thanks for tuning in, and let's crack on with the show. Welcome back, everybody, to Top 8 Movies from Top 8 Media. My name is Owen Morgan. I'm sat down with my co-host, Jessica Rose Johnson, where we talk all things movies through the power of top 8 lists. So we are back on the years. We've now done a decade, Jess. A decade. We're on 2014. Luckily, we've got many more episodes because we're going to go back to at least probably 1994, if not further back. So we are set for the next 6 months. So can you believe that? I know we're on episode 42, so we've done a lot of episodes, but can you believe it? A decade.
It seems to have flown by, both the actual decade and us filming about a decade of movies.
Yeah, I don't know about you. When I'm doing this at this point, I'm like, shit, was that 10 years ago? Or like shocked by it, or like, oh, I thought it was longer than that. Have you had any experiences of that yet?
Yeah, I think mostly like, oh my gosh, it's that was over 10 years ago. Holy smokes. Then I start thinking about the nostalgia of where was I 10 years ago in my life and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty unbelievable that this was a decade ago.
Yeah, it certainly is, isn't it? And as people will see as we go through the list, it was kind of the start of a few different kind of ish franchises and things. So it's quite a pivotal year. I know I keep getting told that 2012 is epic, and I've looked at bits of it and it is. So we're kind of 2 years away from what was supposed to be an iconic year. Can't wait to get there. But we're going to focus on this particular year. So I hope you all enjoyed our Marvel episode from last week. We haven't actually recorded it yet, but in the timeline of the show, I hope you loved it. 5 lists, Marvel battle off. There will be some Marvel here today as well. So hopefully it's consistent with what I said in the last episode. But if you're interested in that sort of stuff where it's really specific and it's with experts that love that genre so much, let us know. We'll try and do more of it. And if you want to just look, we have lots of listeners. If it's something you love, a particular actor or whatever, send us it. We'd love to showcase your list. Honestly, don't worry. Just send it on through and we'll try and craft an episode around it. It'd be really, really lovely. Cool. So let's jump into 2014. So rules on this, there's not many. So it has to be released in 2014, believe it or not. All films allowed, including animation. Not that animation ever gets a shout, poor thing. And ideally, you've had to have seen it, which is just a terrible joke from me there. So we're going to go through highest grossing, as always, my list, Jess's list, and it's been a few episodes, but my dad is back with one of his lists. And I've actually seen all of his films, first time ever. So I'm a proud boy on all levels. So Jess, I'm going to hand over to you to take us through the highest grossing films of 2014. And as always, let the audience know what kind of cash we're talking as you go.
All right, here we are jumping in the 8th spot. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, $710 million. Number 7, Captain America, Winter Soldier, $714 million. Number 6, X-Men, Days of Future Past, $746 million. Number 5, The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, with $755 million. In the number 4 spot, Maleficent, $757 million. In the number 3 spot, Guardians of the Galaxy, $772 million. In the number 2 spot, The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, $962 million. And in the number 1 spot for the year 2014, Transformers, Age of Extinction, with $1.1
billion. Lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. And And yeah, we won't talk too much about the highest grossing one because we try and something new, guys, where we pick out three films that we love, particularly in our list, and do the plot and talk about why we love it. So we're trying to shine a light on more on our list, which I know might be sound a little bit naughty, but I think it's fair enough. So yeah, just touching on this one a little bit. I mean, it's pretty action packed, right? It's like, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, look at it. I mean, Hunger Games, even that's got lots of action in it. I mean, it's probably the most action-y list I've ever seen in my life on our show. So I don't know what that's saying about 2014, but I think it's probably saying a lot. So yeah, we've got some Marvel on there, some Planet of the Apes stuff, which is really cool. Some like converted book stuff with Hunger Games and Hobbit, obviously following on from Lord of the Rings. So that's really, really cool. And some hardcore robots dance, I say dancing then, pretty much dancing and fighting away on planet Earth. So I don't know what else I'm going to say about it really, other than Jesus. I mean, what a night that would be, eh?
I think that it's very interesting. Majority of them are all in the 700s for the 700 millions. But the one that really stuck out to me, and we've talked to this about the animation, is Maleficent. So Maleficent looks like one of the first live actions. So it looks like it went from Maleficent to Cinderella to Jungle Book. So maybe that's why it jumped up so much. I'd have to go and do some like double check in here, but yeah, one of the first live actions for Disney, and I think it was done really well, and surprisingly that it outbeat, yeah, Captain America in there that it outbeat, and it was really close to Guardians of the Galaxies, giving Marvel a little bit of a run for their money.
You're right with live action. I think I wonder if because it would have been, like you said, potentially the first one, it would have kickstarted, it would have pulled in a lot of audience because people are like, oh my God, how are they going to pull this off? And they made so many sins. I'd be interested to see if the number goes down over time when people are like, yes, yeah, cool, but yeah, old one's better. So, not for today, maybe for an anniversary episode, but it'd be really interesting to see its trajectory on take. I'm sure it's kept going. I'm sure Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and all that lot's probably done very well, but you're right. Isn't that weird that they're all in the 700s, other than the top two? That is weird. I've never seen that before, and I haven't seen any of the Hobbits, so I can't really talk much on that. I'm going to watch all the Lord of the Rings again soon, everyone, and then I'm going to crack on with the Hobbit. Life's pretty packed, but I try and watch films in 20-minute slots with my dinners. So you know, I suggest what's that then? That down the bottom is that. Is they
So
the ones for
it
it?
looks like there was a live action Jungle Book from 94, and then it had the 101 Dalmatians in 96 and 102 in 2000. Then it jumped to Alice in Wonderland in 2010 and Maleficent in 2014. So
It's interesting. When I think about live action, it probably would have started for Maleficent and all the ones we've had since then. When I think about it, when people talk about it, that's kind of what we're talking about, that bunch. Especially 101 Dalmatians just felt like it was like a, just a random thing they made. Whereas they've got real intent now to make loads of money through this whole little separate franchise within their own franchise. And people got mixed opinions about it anyway. We kind of already mentioned that, you know, it's very, very difficult to remake things these days because of just nostalgia alone. So I haven't rewatched any of them, to be honest. So maybe that would be my next, after Lord of the Rings, my next franchise journey. But yeah, we'll move on from that because we are trying to tighten up the show a little bit and make it a little bit more, you know, a little bit more concise and flowing for you guys that are listening. So, congratulations, highest grossing list, man. We have like a little image that represents. Wait, no, highest grossing is no, it's the lady with pink hair. It's our digital character. IMDb is the luscious yellow hair of our Viking warrior. Go on Instagram, you know what I mean. I have a lot of fun. I'm doing a graphic design degree. I'm just started it, guys. So you're going to see a lot of me trying out my graphic design on our Instagram. So just enjoy that, hopefully. So cool. We'll leave that there, and we will dive into my list. So this is list B for all of those that wanted to vote, and let's see what I'm looking at. So as always, me and Jess mostly like to mention things that didn't quite make it. I went a bit over the top here and I put an insane amount of mentions in, which means I pretty much like the year, didn't I, guys? So I'll just read them off. This film called 71, loved it. X-Men, Futures Past, loved it. Paddington, loved it. Theory of Everything, loved it. Riot Club, great. Taken 3, there's quite a few of them now. It's getting a bit silly, but loved it. And Jack Ryan were all fantastic, but didn't make it. Sorry. So the ones above it must be really good. So give you my eight. I go into detail on three of them, and I might touch on a few others along the way. My eighth spot is Interstellar, so I wanted to include a space film when I say today, Matthew McConaughey. My seventh is Good Kill with Ethan Hawke. I'll talk about that a bit later on, actually, because it's amazing. Nightcrawler is my sixth spot. Fury with Brad Pitt is my fifth. Unbroken, Incredible is in at fourth. Whiplash, holy shit, what a film, is third. Guardians of the Galaxy, so awesome, in second. And Captain America, Winter Soldier, one of the best Marvels going, is in my top spot. So before I go into any detail, Jess, as I know, well, actually, you haven't seen Whiplash, but what do you think about that list? It's not as action-packed, I don't think. I think I mixed it up a bit.
I am. There's a few movies on your list I haven't seen, so I'm glad you said that it was an action packed because I don't know. I'm not sure about those movies, but definitely some good ones. There is one that is not on your list, and I realized it wasn't on mine, so I threw it in an honorable mention that I think you are gonna about later. So I'm excited to see how we play out on that one, because I thought for sure that one was going to be in your top eight. So I'm very surprised and eager to hear about some of these other movies.
Yeah, we'll get on to it after the break, but there's two there. I'm like, really? Oh. So we'll talk about it later. Too late now. And I'll pay the price for it in the votes, I'm sure. But let me just take you through three of the ones that I loved. So let's just touch on. Where are we? God, I've done a little thing for each film. What am I up to there? So first off, I'm going to take you through my third spot, Whiplash. I'm really excited to do this because I'm so utterly devastated that Jess hasn't seen it. So this is my chance to get it over the line. So for some reason, I put it's released in 2014. Duh, that's the episode. IMDb rating is 8.5. Guys, 8.5. Rotten Tomatoes, are you ready? 94%. Yes, 94%. The audience, 94%. So I hope you'll be watching this later today. It stars Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons. It's pretty much just those two. Andrew Nyman, played by Miles Teller, is an ambitious young jazz drummer in the pursuit of rising to the top of his elite music conservatory. Terence Fletcher, played by J.K. Simmons, an instructor known for his terrifying teaching methods, discovers Andrew and transforms the inspiring drummer into a top jazz ensemble, forever changing the young man's life. But Andrew's passion to achieve perfection quickly spirals into obsession as his ruthless teacher pushes him to the brink of his ability and his sanity. And the critic's response is intense, inspiring, well acted. Whiplash is a brilliant effort from director Damien Chazelle and a riveting vehicle for the stars of J.K. Simmons and Miles Teller. Guys, guys, getting tingles thinking about it. This film is fucking incredible. The performances are out of this world. J.K. Simmons is just, I'm not sure if horrible is the right word. He really wants to get the best out of his students. And he takes him to just mental breakage, but makes him one of the most amazing musicians of all time in this story that we're seeing. And it's just the scenes of him drumming and his hands are bleeding and he's just soaked with sweat and the teacher just keeps pushing him. It's fucking incredible. It was up for Oscars. My dad loves it too. And Jess, after saying that, are you excited?
I am excited. So I don't know if I ever told you this, but I was a drummer. So when I was in school, I was a percussionist, and it's very intriguing, something I might even get on a personal level, the music side. So I have added it to my need to watch list for you. We'll have to have you review it and re-rank your movies that you want me to watch to see how high up this one makes.
I think that list is getting a bit silly at this point. So I think I'm just going to let you do your own thing. You'll decide. Because even me, if I went through all the lists we've done in the last 40 episodes, I'm probably going to get a bit overwhelmed. So I like to just go on a streaming platform and go. Like I still want to see Oppenheim, you see, and it's just timing it because I know it's long and it's quite intense in a sort of dramatic way. It just has to be the right time, doesn't it? At the end of the day. Right, Guardians of the Galaxy. I guess a lot of you don't need me to say anything about this, but I'm going to do it anyway. So, an IMDb rating of 8.0, which is pretty good for Marvel. It's always mixed. Rotten Tomatoes, 92%. Epic audience, 92%. Brilliant. And it stars Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Bradley Cooper, Dave Bautista, Vin Diesel, and Karen Gillian. Gillian, 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 Gillian. It is about. You didn't know? A brash space adventure. Peter Quill, played by Chris Pratt, finds himself tied to relentless bounty hunters after he steals an orb coveted by Ronan, a powerful villain. To evade Ronan, Quill is forced into an easy truce with the four desperate misfits: gun-toting Rocket Raccoon, tree-like humanoid Groot, animatic Gamora, and the vengeance-driven Drax, the Destroyer. This made me laugh. But when he discovers the orb's true power and the cosmic threat it poses, Quill must rally his ragtag group to save the universe. Critics say Guardians of the Galaxy is just as irrelevant as fans of the frequently zany Marvel comic would expect. I don't think I've said the right word. Irreverent. Irreverent. Yeah, not irrelevant. God, that'd be terrible. Irreverent. Yeah, makes sense. Guardians of the Galaxy is just irreverent as fans of the frequently zany Marvel comic would expect, as well as a funny, thrilling, full of heart, and packed with visual splendor. I love that. That's so true. Funny? Yep. It's really thrilling. Definitely full of heart. It's all about the family unit that starts to grow in just this first film of many, and it's packed with visual splendor. True. The image, the visuals of it is just beautiful. It's a beautiful film, space film. It's absolutely amazing, and I love it. And Jess, what are your thoughts on the Guardians gang?
I do think that I first of all, I loved the description of the lead characters. That was pretty funny. But I think of all the Marvel movies, I just really love the main character Quill. Like, I just love his just genuine down to earthness. So I think I, of all the Marvel movies, I think I connect really well with Guardians of the Galaxy. So it'll be interesting how we play all this out in the Marvel episode. But I think it is a really good movie. And I loved how you said that, where this is kind of the establishment of the basis of family and how the family that is formed isn't a blood family. And that's what most people normally think their family is blood family. So I think that was a wonderful description of the movie. And I find it hard to believe anyone who hasn't seen it, but if they haven't seen it, I endorse it if that it's worth anything.
Yeah, it's so interesting you sort of said in there, which is kind of a big thing about Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's the same for Deadpool. They're two things, maybe even Spider-Man to a certain point. If you're not into Marvel, like you don't want to watch Iron Man or Captain America or Thor or any of those, a lot of people are willing to watch Guardians of the Galaxy as like a separate thing. They don't care if it's linked to Marvel or there's a through line. It's like a separate franchise that people can just watch that aren't really necessarily into superhero stuff. I think that's why Marvel nailed it, because they created something that can be slightly separate, but kind of isn't. So big kudos to that. It's the same with Deadpool. Some people that don't want to watch any Marvel at all, not their thing, but they love Deadpool. So well done, Marvel, in that sense. It's very, very clever. Speaking of Marvel, Captain America, my number one spot. Of course, I'm going to talk about it. It's got an IMDb rating of 7.7. That's silly. Rotten Tomatoes, 90%, which is great. Audience, 92%. That's really, really cool. It stars Chris Evans, Sebastian Stan, Anthony Mackie, Scarlett Johansson, and Samuel L. Jackson, plus many more. After the cataclysmic events in New York with his fellow Avengers, Steve Rogers, aka Captain America, lives in the nation's capital as he tries to adjust to the modern times. An attack on SHIELD colleagues throws Rogers into a web of intrigue that places the whole world at risk, joining forces with the Black Widow and a new ally, the Falcon. Roger struggles to ex to expose an ever-widening conspiracy, but he and his team soon come up against it with an unexpected enemy. Like, people don't know who that was. The critic's response is suspenseful and politically astute. Captain America, the Winter Soldier, is a superior entry in the Avengers canon and is sure to thrill Marvel diehards. Very true. Marvel diehards, so many people say Winter Soldier, particularly, is very good. And mostly because it was Steve Rogers, it was Captain America kind of questioning his morals and friendship, and what do you do when your best friend turns bad, and all of this. It's like, it's so much more depth than we've had in previous superhero stuff, even way before Marvel existed. It was dark in a way, but not Batman dark, not like dark just for being dark's sake. It really challenged the moral viewpoint of a superhero, and I think that's why it was so good. I loved it. And in the Marvel episode previous to this, you'll know we talked about that already, but oh, I just thought it was particularly good. Particularly good. So, what are your thoughts on Winter Soldier?
I think it's good. I mean, you bring up that point about the moral side, right? Is that the when yeah, everyone knows who the bad guy is, right? But the bad guy wasn't always a bad guy. And can you save someone that you loved at a different time in their life, and they were a different person, but still seeing that person, and how can you defend what you love here and then maybe save what you love here as much as you can? So I love that dynamics of the movie. And for being someone who is not like super Marvel fan, didn't read comics, didn't really grow up watching or hearing the stories, for me it was kind of like a first time, like, oh, like, okay, Winter Soldier, that's who they're talking about. But it was still a good movie, and seeing how even his friend's reaction of disagreement and support as he went through the journey of trying to save his friend. So, yeah, I like the heart-filled storyline, underlining storyline.
Definitely, and I think they realize it, that kind of thing works. I think they tried to do it with a few other things later on. Even like with Black Panther, he had a really good understory there. And they did with Thor in Endgame in the last two. Thor really started to lose the plot a little bit, and it was really good to see him not just be. Anyway, we talked about a Marvel episode, so I'm going to move on. Don't get me started. But yeah, just to finish up for the break, I'm just going to give you one line from each of the other films. It just felt right to do it today. I'm not going to talk too much about it. So, Nightcrawler, when Lewis Bloom, a con man desperate for work, muscles into the world of LA crime journalism, he blurs the line between observer and participant to become the star of his own story. Starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Rene Russo, and Ahmed. I didn't put surname in, sorry, my bad. But. Jake Gyllenhaal is incredible in this movie. Just he's so desperate, and he started following criminals around and getting footage for the TV channel, and it gets so dark, and he starts recording some really messed up stuff and not reporting it to the police because he just really needed to succeed. Oh my God, so good. Watch it, guys. Unbroken. After a near-fatal plane crash in World War II, Olympian Louis Samporini spends a harrowing 47 days in a raft with two fellow crewmen before he's caught by the Japanese Navy and sent to a prisoner of war camp. It's actually directed by Angelina Jolie, cool fact, and written by the Coens, Coen brothers. Like, what the hell? Starring Jack Connell and Domhnall Gleeson. Incredible, incredible performance from Jack O'Connell. It's incredible. To have gone through all he went through in that raft, to then the scenes of, oh my God, in the prison camp. It's horrific. Incredible movie. Fury, a grizzled tank commander, makes tough decisions as he and his crew fight their way across Germany in 1945. Starring Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, and Michael Peña. Brilliant film, guys. I'll leave it there. Go and watch it. You've probably seen it already. Good kill. A Las Vegas-based fighter pilot turned drone pilot fights the Taliban by remote control for 12 hours a day, then goes home to the suburbs and feuds with his wife and kids for the other 12. But the pilot is starting to question the mission. Is he creating more terrorists than he is killing? Is he fighting a war without an end? starring Ethan Hawke and January Jones. Ethan Hawke is incredible. The moral viewpoint of just going around, blowing shit up with a drone. Don't know really 100% what sites you're hitting and the moralness of that. Can you imagine doing that? Just blowing up all these places, potentially wounding civilians, and then going home to your normal family. It's guys, beautiful movie, beautiful movie. Interstellar. When Earth becomes uninhabitable in the future, a farmer and ex NASA pilot Joseph Cooper is tasked to pilot a spacecraft along with the team of researchers to find a new planet for humans. Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, and Jessica Chastain. I will watch anything with Matthew McConaughey in it, to be really honest with you. So I am set. All right, all right, all right. Had to be done. And it's amazing. So sorry, guys. I just really wanted to do that. So, Jess, did any of those films that you haven't seen reach out to you? So, what was it? Nightcrawler, Good Kill, and Interstellar. Any of those tickle your fancy?
I feel like we've talked about Interstellar a few times.
Yes.
Good Kill, I hadn't heard of before. I know I've heard of Nightcrawler before. So Good Killer sounds definitely something interesting and kind of up my alley as a veteran. So of all the ones, that might be the one that gets bumped a little higher on my to be watched list.
Wonderful, but not before Whiplash, of course.
Of
Of
course,
course.
of
As
course.
a former drummer or fellow drummer or current drummer, it makes sense. Cool. Thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you, everybody. We are going to have a little break now. When we get back, we're going to see what Jess has in store for us, which is actually quite different. So pretty epic. Can't wait. See you in a minute. Okay, guys, welcome back. We are looking at films from 2014, and we've got quite a few new ones about to come up here. So it'd be interesting to see how this swings you as a listener as we go through. So I hand over to you, Jess. Let us know your top eight, and then give us a little taste of three of them afterwards. That'd be awesome.
So I had a few honorable mentions, even though one is debatable that we're finding out. Neighbors, a great comedy, and then Unbroken, which I know is on a couple other people's lists. And Kingsman, though it's up for debate, the release date, but wanted to just throw some love, whatever, put it out there. If it was 2014, 2015, we're rolling with it. I'm jumping into my top eight from 2014. In the number eight spot, I have Rudderless. In the number seven spot, Beauty and the Beast. The number six spot, X-Men Days of Future Past. The number fifth spot, American Sniper. The number four spot, Fault in Our Stars. The number three spot, Maleficent. In the number two spot, Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part One, and my number one spot is Divergent. Hopefully, that's stays pretty true to my series episode that we did. I want to share some love with my number eight because I'm sure many people have not heard of this movie, and I'll give you some super awesome fun facts. So, Rudderless stars Billy Crudup and Anton Yelchin. I'm going to read the description that was on IMDb because I don't want to give any spoilers, and then I'll share some fun facts. So, a grieving father in a downward spiral stumbles across a box of his recently deceased son's demo tapes and lyrics. Shocked by the discovery of this unknown talent, he forms a band in the hopes of finding some catharsis. With this movie, it was actually written in my great state of Oklahoma, and it was filmed here as well. And I got to be on set of this movie for almost every day of filming, which is really cool. I think I only missed 3, maybe 4 days of filming. So I got a real behind the scenes look on this. So this movie means a lot to me. But the story itself, you've just got to watch it. The story, again, I can't say it because it'll be a horrible spoiler. And they kept it quiet until the movie was released in theaters. And it's just so beautiful of a story that there's more to it. So, anyway, I don't want to spoil it because it's just so beautiful, but I think it's really great being able to see, like, what do you do after you've lost a child? And when you learn how he lost his child, you just feel even deeper and deeper and become so connected to the character and what he goes through. Also, shout out to Billy Crudup because the scene where he's crying is real, like 100% real. I thought someone was going to come with like teardrops put in his eyes. No, 100% real, an amazing actor. Want to give him some praise and love there. Have you ever heard of the movie Rudderless?
No, I'm
Oh,
really
funny.
excited. I really love hearing about new stuff and yeah, the attachment you have to it for real life as well. It sounds really, really interesting. So yeah, thank you. I'm gonna look that up later. Really cool.
And anyone who watches it, I would love to hear what your thoughts are because I think it's so great. I'm going to jump up to American Sniper because it's one that I don't think we've talked about recently. And a lot of these others are going to cross paths or be more popular movies. So, American Sniper, IMDb gave it a whopping 7.3, starring Bradley Cooper and Sienna Miller. This is the story, the true story. Ish, you know, obviously movies, but it's based on a true story from the Navy SEAL sniper Chris Kyle, and it goes through his life and how he became a SEAL and his time on the battlefield and what he did on the battlefield and then what he did when he came home to the battlefield here and how so many people love and respect him and honor him. So I think it's a really beautiful movie. His wife has since come out with a book to share her experience after all of this has happened, to include his book and the movie and all that kind of stuff. So just a really beautiful story about someone who did some hard stuff, but then also some amazing and beautiful stuff from that hard stuff that he had to do. Is this one you've seen? I can't remember. You have seen this one, right? We
Yeah, I love
talked
this
about.
film. I love Bradley Cooper anyway, but an immense
Oh,
film. And I don't know how I feel really silly because I don't know why this would be in my top eight. So, yeah, it's a bit annoying. So good. Oh. Anyway, this has happened many times on the show, guys. So, but yeah, I
this
love
might
it.
be
I totally
the
agree. It's such an interesting story. And the way they made it is really well paced as well. You know, you think when you're going through a whole journey of somebody, especially when it's based on this particular topic, you kind of just want to get to the bit where he's being a sniper. But I think they did a really good job of telling it in a very interesting way all the way through. So, yeah, big love.
And I think it's hard to try and narrow the list down to eight and trying to sort and find out when all these movies come out. So many great movies come out in a year. It's hard to give them all love, but maybe just maybe American Sniper might get people to vote for list C over list B.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But you have the Marvels, so.
I got the Marvel people on my side, but I know a lot of the people that vote aren't hardcore Marvel, so that's not a good thing.
I'm gonna finish up with my number one choice, Divergent. This is a series that I love so much. I'm really sad that they didn't finish the final movie, but it got a 6.6 on IMDb, and it stars Shailene Woodley, Theo James, and Kate Winslet. It's kind of your typical like post-apocalyptic-esque feeling, trying to control the world. So basically, in the Divergent series, they divide you up by fractions, is what they call it, and each of them have a different role in society. So you grow up in your fraction that your parents were in, and then when you become of age, you take a test, and the test is supposed to tell you whether which fraction you would be best in, and then you go and you move there and you live there and you live out whatever that role is that that fraction lives. But there is actually a divergence, are people who don't fit into just one fraction. So they kind of threaten this society that has been built to sustain. And it's just a it's a fun way to see, you know, kind of like Hunger Games, they have all of their sections. It's just a different way to see how societies can be divided up. And then what do you do when you don't fit the mold that society has divided you into? So really like it. Again, really wish I would have finished it, but still great for the movies that were created.
Yeah, thank you. I hadn't seen it. That was such a good pitch. I'd want to watch it the way you explained it. So it's, yeah, because it's such a cool storyline. And I think it's interesting because you've got it that way around Hunger Games and Divergent. I probably feel the same way. I enjoyed that series, you know, like 5% more than Hunger Games. So say Hunger Games was 80%, Divergent would be 85%. So it's just a little bit more. I don't have no idea why. Maybe I just like the fraction thing rather than, I don't know. I'm not going to go into it. But, yeah, no, I love it. And is there anything else on this list that you want to mention, or should we move on?
Well, I know that there's a, I don't want to spoil it, but We talked about Maleficent. I think A Fault in Our Stars is a great one. I've talked about it before. It's such a lovely story of two teenagers who fall in love, and unfortunately, their love story, they meet because they're one's going through cancer and one's a cancer survivor. So it's just really beautiful. It's also one of probably like my top 15 movie soundtracks. And I was listening to some
Interesting.
of it earlier today. So I think it's just a beautiful movie and a beautiful story and a great watch. Have some tissues on standby. And I do, of all the X-Men, I know I say how like I'm not a Marvel fan. I grew up with X-Men and Batman. So X-Men I have a special connection to. So I did include X-Men Days of Our Future Past, and I liked how it gave birth to be able to tie in the two worlds of X-Men. So I think that's really cool and why I decided to include that in my top eight. We'll leave it there because we know Mike is going to have an amazing list since he is a pro movie reviewer. And I'm actually a little sad that I've only seen a couple movies on his list. Oh man.
Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting, actually. Yeah, you'd only seen the two. I was like, okay, that's interesting. But just before we move on, I just want to say that X-Men is particularly good. You know, of all the ones they've done, I really enjoyed it. You're right. It was a really, really, really good chapter in that. I guess there's so many versions of it, so many different like spin-off franchises. I get very confused. I can barely keep up with Marvel's like timeline and all that. So yeah. But I am excited to see Wolverine and Deadpool 3. That's all I'm saying. I'm loving that little combo. That's going to be interesting. But yeah, great list. Thank you very much, Jess. So yes, we're going to look at my dad's now. He's got two. His number one and number two spot haven't really been mentioned today, and they're both fantastic. So it just shows the quality of this year. So let's dive in and see how we get there. So this is Mike's list for 2014. So his eighth place is Fault in Our Stars. It's back, which is great. Grand Puda. Grand Budapest Hotel, great shout, is in seventh. Really cool to see that here. Whiplash, yeah, I know he loved that too, which is awesome. That's his sixth. I'm surprised he put Paddington fifth above Whiplash, but Paddington, you know, us Brits again, let's be proud, guys, because it's a gorgeous, beautiful film. We've done well. Very, very good. Boyhood, which we'll touch on a little bit later. The background to that film is incredible. Tell you later. Unbroken is third, because I know he loves O'Connell as much as I do. Second, here we go. Theory of Everything. So that's the first time we've seen that here today. An Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch is in top spot. Absolutely immense film. And now I'm like, why did I not even put that in my mentions? Probably for the same reason as I didn't mention earlier. I completely messed up and I put Kingsman in my list because basically Kingsman would have been third place. So embarrassing. But we haven't got any years left to sneak Kingsman into. So I just want to honor the film with the one of my top eight scenes in movie history is not on my top eight list, which is, yeah, next level embarrassment. The scene in the church is one of the greatest scenes in cinema history. If you've seen the film, you know what I mean. Oh my God, that scene. But anyway, back to my dad's list. Let's yeah, Jess, what do you think so far before we read out? My dad's given us a few lines for these, but yeah, what are your thoughts then about Imitation Game and Theory of Everything? What how are you feeling about those two? If I know you haven't seen them, but like, did they interest you from what you know about them or not?
I think anytime your dad has a top one, top two, I'm instantly like, oh, they got to be great. They got to go on my watch later list because he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. I can't say I know much about them, so I'm glad that he'll be sharing more about the Imitation Game, and I'll have to look them up and see where they rank on my to be watched next list.
Yeah, I just realized that the two that you've seen, we already talked about Unbroken and Fault in Our Stars and yours. So there's not much too much you can say, I suppose. But it's not urgent, but watch Paddington if you can. It's very sweet. But yeah, put it, I don't know, like 20 on your list, 20th thing to watch. No rush there. So let's see what my dad is giving us. Let me scroll down my notes. Here we go. So yeah, I do Theory of Everything in Imitation Game. Got Unbroken. Yeah. So basically, essentially, going to do is top three. Guess we don't really need to Unbroken again, but I'm going to honor it because that's what we've got here. So Unbroken, rated 7.2. Angelina Jolie, you said that. You know the storyline. Let's see if I can just pick out what he thought. It's just a storyline. So yeah. Anyway, I know he absolutely loved it, and he knows Jack O'Connell's performance is incredible. So, Theory of Everything. So, it's 7.7 IMDb, directed by James Marsh, starring Eddie Redmayne, Felicity Jones, and Harry Lloyd. Storyline: a wonderful Best Oscar and BAFTA awarded to Eddie Redmayne for his performance playing the amazing Stephen Hawking, who was internationally acclaimed for his work around physics and various breakthroughs. Even though he suffered with having motor neuron disease. Such a powerful film, powerful performance. And, if you can tell a story about a character, you got to try and get it right. And I think they did such a beautiful job of getting the story across. So if you do get a chance, everybody, and you haven't seen it, it's really worth a watch. And you learn a lot about him and his character and everything as well. It's just really powerful. Right, Imitation Game, rated 8.0 on IMDb, directed by Morten Tidal-dum? Interesting name. Starring Benedict Cumberbatch, Keira Knightley, and Matthew Good. So, storyline: the film extraordinarily covers the breakthrough by English mathematical genius Alan Turing, brilliant play by Benedict Cumberbatch, who cracked the German Enigma code during the Second World War, leading to the war finishing at least 2 years earlier than it might have done. Most of the breakthrough came through the base of Bletchley Park with the help of his wonderful assistants. The film also covers Turin's private life as a closet homosexual, which did eventually get him arrested, as in those days, it was an offence to be gay. What a time that was. Alan did die 9 years after the Second World War finished in 1954 at a very young age of 41. The film was so educationally. The film was so educational in its delivery, I had to make it my number one for 2014. Yeah, you're spot on. It was so educational. It taught you a lot about the whole story of all of that. Because normally we look at war, what battles were won, who were the sergeants that pulled it off, the amazing stories of all the soldiers. So it's really interesting to see, but kind of like behind the scenes, information gathering and the impact that has. It's a beautiful film. It's intense at times. His backstory is heartbreaking. He died so young as well. And it had everything, guys. And I understand why it's number one. And I'm also questioning why it's not in my top eight. So it's be up there's the most embarrassing episode of my life. I know I've said that a few times, but I think this is the one, guys. So Jess, now I've read those two out. Since I asked you the question 5 minutes ago, are you more intrigued?
I would definitely say now hearing more about it, definitely more intrigued. I think it sounds like a beautiful film and a beautiful story. So I am excited to watch it and then see what I get from it.
Definitely, well, good luck with your 50 film list. You and me are both very busy people. How the hell we're even doing a show about this and actually watching the films is quite impressive, to be honest. But we will persevere on, because this is a beautiful passion project for us. Just to wrap it up, Boyhood was filmed, I think it was like 15 years or something. So they filmed with the boy, Ethan Hawke's in it as well. And they filmed bits of it throughout the years. So it took that long to make. And it's the story of the boy growing up in his boyhood. And they took them 15 plus years to film it. They kept returning to it and filmed for like a month or two. And you can see Ethan Hawke aging over time as the actor. It's incredible. Once you know that it took that long to film and you see this boy grow, it's so s such an epic backstory, and the film's great as well, and the storyline's awesome. So it's just about him coming to becoming a man, and they filmed over that amount of time. So check it out, guys. It's really, really fascinating stuff. They don't make films like that these days, or ever. I think it was so different. So yeah, thanks, Dad, for mentioning that. It's really, really cool. And if you want to enjoy a berry in marmalade, then go and watch Paddington, and all will be well. So that wraps us up, guys. That was pretty epic, I have to say. Yeah, I sort of given up on what the best years are, to be honest. I think they're all just amazing. I think these lists are always going to be, it's a year, 12 months worth of films. Of course, you're going to have some absolutely immense stuff. So I can't wait to, work our way through the next decade. What are you thinking, Jess? Do you think by the time we get to the early 2000s, I don't know what to expect. I'm excited. I haven't looked at any of it yet. It's cool.
I think my need to watch list is going to triple in no time. So I've got some watching coming up, but I think this is great, and I love that we're able to share these because there's some movies that I might have missed when they came out or forgotten about or hadn't heard of, and it just brings light to some great stories, and it's never too late to enjoy a good cinema. So I'm excited.
Yes, yeah, me too, me too. And yeah, I just love, I yeah, it's just been awesome, the journey, guys, and I'm just so grateful for you all sticking with it. You know, we're gonna get to episode 50 before you know it. And at the end of the day, me and Jess don't really have time to do this, but we're doing it because we love it, and we hope it's just really something that you love, because it really helps us, I think, with our mental health, just have a little break for a bit. So, and I was thinking about this the other day, just to get a bit emotional on the show, guys, but a lot of anxiety last couple of weeks. But what I always know about films, people always say, oh, you know, it's such a waste of life, you know, why are you just like staring at a screen and watching other people's story, you know, you should be out there living. And I'm like, no, fuck you. Like, yeah, without film I wouldn't have got through a lot of my struggles. It's, yeah, I'm getting a bit emotional, guys, but I just want to honor the power of storytelling and how it can take you away from your struggles. So, you know, big love for that. Oh, that was nice. That was
I
nice.
agree. Movies are my big escape. So,
Yeah.
I'm with
Yeah.
you.
So I don't care. Anybody that says it's a waste of life, I'm sorry. Nope. It's not true. So on that note, in the next episode, we're looking at Idris Elba, which I'm super excited about because he is awesome. And it was only the other day I discovered that he is the voice of Knuckles in Sonic Hedgehog 2 that I watched last week, my stepson. I was like, what the hell is Idris voicing an evil hedgehog guy? I just thought it was really cool, really, really silly. I loved it. I realized he's made some amazing stuff, guys, that I haven't seen. So you're going to hear all about this next week, especially the film Mandela, where he plays Nelson Mandela. I mean, how the hell have I not seen that? So we'll talk about it all next time when you tune in. So go to Instagram right now, A, B, C, and D. Go in the comments, DM me, put your vote in. This is very different today. So yeah, whatever films are swinging it, I would love to know why. So if you're going for Marvel, hey, here I am. If you're going for a much more variety, but also Hunger Games, Divergent, all that good stuff, if you're into that, you'll get that. And my dad's gone for proper drama, you know, brilliantly crafted drama. High grossing, bah, we don't care about high grossing, do we, guys? Come on. So like one vote ever. Someone's gonna vote on it now because they feel bad, which I also respect. So thank you for watching, everybody, and we will see you next time. Send us your top 8 list today to top_8_media. If you find it too hard to create your top 8 of all time, then why not a top 8 from a certain actor, actress, genre, or director? You can even make it more niche. For example, the top 8 films set in space. Your list could inspire, so join the top 8 media contributors today. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.